We're studying still in Luke 10 or 11, but we studied a lot about temptation, and the companion word to temptation really is tribulation. And so that's what we're looking at, Philippus, tribulation. And I want to go back, we're going to go backwards, go to Romans 5. We did this, we passed over this yesterday, but verse 3.
Okay. Romans 5. All right.
No, let's start in verse 1. I'm sorry. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through or in our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, how in God's name does tribulation work patience? We passed over that and didn't even address it yesterday. Tribulation worketh patience.
Sure, it works irritation and suffering.
Yeah, tribulation in the natural, tribulation worketh nothing but anguish and pain and complaining and
frustration.
And what?
Frustration.
All right, that's another one. But in the spirit, tribulation worketh patience. Now, how can that be? Where's Gary when we need him?
Absent.
How can tribulation work patience? How can this squeezing, this stomping on work patience? It can't to your flesh. It can only work patience if you understand that it has a purpose. And if you understand and see that purpose, the spiritual purpose, then tribulation will automatically work patience, because you will not think that the tribulation is a strange thing. Now, that's critical in your understanding. Otherwise, all that you're going to get out of tribulation is, excuse my French, pissed off. You're going to holler at God and scream at God. But if you see what the purpose of life is, then tribulation, by definition, works patience. And patience works experience. And experience doesn't mean it like we think of it, but experience means steadfast, tried integrity. Finally, you have integrity instead of being double-minded. So tribulation is the first act or first work in the understanding of the mystery of God. If you don't understand that tribulation works patience, then you will understand nothing. You'll just be another Gentile complaining about your poor little life. Anybody have any response to that? Everybody understand? Tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And remember, hope is never used in the scriptures outside of the resurrection of Christ. There's no word that we can conceive of in Greek or in the Bible that says the expectation of some good thing, i.e. what you believe is a good thing. The only thing that everything is working towards is the understanding of the resurrection of Christ in you and all what all that means. But unless unless you see that, then none of this makes any sense. The tribulation won't work patience. Right? All right, so now we're going to go on to Romans 12.
Chapter 12.
Start in verse 6 or 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Acting is what, understand what dissimulation means?
Never heard of that one.
Mm-hmm. It means you're acting like something, which is not the real you. It's, all right, everybody, turn your head and tell three people you love them. You don't even know them. No acting. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patient, tribulation almost always in the scriptures has as its companion patience. Because if you see what the mystery of God is for your life, then tribulation, by definition, would automatically bring patience. Can everybody see that? All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. This is one of the funniest ones in the scriptures. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, shall have trouble or tribulation, is what it says, in the flesh, but I spare you. If you marry, expect tribulation to be increased, is what he's saying. Except, of course, except for the bojos. Can I say the bojos?
Please don't.
Please don't say that? All right. I'm getting instructions. Now, always pay attention to instructions. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. Here again, the word phlispus is what we normally, it's translated affliction. Here it's translated, it's the word is trouble. Verse 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So it's translated, here it's twice. Once it's translated as tribulation, once it's translated as trouble. So the reason for the trouble or the tribulation is so that when you're comforted, then you can comfort someone else that's in the same place. And if you hear that, then you will begin to understand what your purpose in the body of Christ is. Because you experience different things and then are comforted in them so that you can comfort someone else that's going through the same thing. Now, that's always the case. And I've seen it 1,000 times in the 40 years I've been a believer. The reason that you went through something is so that you can comfort someone else that's going through the same thing. Amen? All right, now go to verse 4. I mean chapter 4, 2 Corinthians.
I want 2 Corinthians, chapter 1.
Pay attention, Ronnie. Verse 7. Well, there's two of them in this rant that he went on. So let's start in verse 3. We're going to read all the way down to 18. And the words that we're going to study are in verse 8 and verse 17 of tribulation. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled, afflicted, Philespus, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now I want to talk about just that word, for our light affliction. He was stoned. He was beaten 3 times within an inch of his death. He was shipwrecked. Everybody left him 3 different times. He was always in pain from his eye problem. And yet he said, for our light affliction. That's an amazing statement. For our light affliction, phlespis, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is why tribulation, trouble, affliction is so necessary. Because without it, we just continue to think like the Gentiles think. All right. Go to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Joyful in tribulation. And then it's, again, the next verse is translated as trouble. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Glory in that tribulation. Does that make you a masochist? No. It makes you a saint. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Start in verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the heavenly the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Again, faint not. You understand what faint means?
Yeah, you think it's weird that we're going through.
Faint means to leave the promise and go to your own mind. So you faint. mystery of God and return to self. That's what faith really means. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation is a terrible translation of the word. It's let your abandonment be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your abandonment be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, communicate with his affliction means that these group of people in Philippi met his need. And he's just thanking them for that. But he calls his need an affliction. It's Philispus. Just in this cross-section of words we've studied about affliction, you can see that there's no place, there's nothing that can transpire in your life that isn't God working in you to will of his good pleasure. There's nothing strange about anything. And if you can hear that, if you can understand that, then you can start rejoicing in this incredible mystery that we were called into. Instead of complaining always about things that are going on, we can start living it instead of just hearing about it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Take a big guy. I don't feel like talking.